In response to the preaching, let us sing from Psalter number 287, all three stanzas of number 287. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, solid, unbroken communication with his commander is of vital importance to a soldier in active duty. Solid, unbroken communication is of absolute necessity for such a soldier to survive. I want to give you an example. During the Gulf War in 1991, just prior to Operation Desert Storm, as it was called, the Alliance of Nations, and then primarily the United States, dropped some of its elite forces behind enemy lines, some paratroopers. And those soldiers found themselves, obviously, in very extreme, dangerous situations. And they relied very heavily on constant communication with their commander, who was still on the other side, you see. Unbroken communication was of vital importance to them, and especially unbroken communication with their commander was of vital importance to them. It was, so to speak, their lifeline to survival. If such communication stopped for some reason or another, the commander of those elite troops would have to do what he can to recover his men on the other side, would send helicopters in order to get them or establish some sort of communication again, because they needed that communication. Well, now, as we will consider again this whole matter of the Christian armor from Ephesians chapter 6, and as we consider what it means to be a Christian soldier, a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, such communication, dear people, is also of vital importance for you and me, that we have a direct communication with our commander-in-chief, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So, for a Christian soldier, such communication is called what? Prayer. Prayer. That's what it's called. And so, what we have heard over the last, I suppose it's probably the last 5 or 6 months, and we have heard about the various armor pieces that the Christian soldier is to put on and have on. 6 pieces, no less. He is to do this because otherwise he would not be able to engage in battle against the enemy that is not always very obvious, but it is an enemy who is very strong, and it is called the devil. And the exercises that he engages in are called the wiles of the devil. Now, having put on all of these pieces of armor, the Christian is now urged to consider unbroken communication with his commander by the following words that we have here in our text: praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, before I go on to explain the very words here of our text, let me remove one possible misunderstanding about our text and point out a very significant matter in this passage here. And that is this. First of all, prayer here is not to be understood as a seventh piece of Christian armor. It should not be understood in that way. In other words, do not think that once you've put on the belt and the breastplate and the boots and the shield and the helmet and the sword, that there's next yet one more piece that you have to put on, and that is prayer. That's not what our text wants to say. No, prayer, you see, is not meant as an additional piece of armor, as if the shield and the helmet and the sword and so on don't really do what should be done, well, then maybe prayer will do it yet. That is not how we should consider our text passage, because that would be a misunderstanding of our text passage. Our text does not mean, dear people, that prayer is a seventh piece of armor. Rather, our text means to tell us that prayer is to be in exercise all along as we are engaged in putting on these six pieces of armor and as we are engaged in warfare. We are to be engaged at all times with our spiritual commander. Prayer is to be done at all times. In other words, as someone once said, put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. And that is how we have to understand our text. And that's not all, because once we are in full armor and we venture out into our spiritual warfare, prayer is to be in constant exercise as we engage in spiritual battles. We fight, but we pray at the same time, you see. In other words, we could also say we fight prayingly. Notice also this yet. In our text, verse 18, the word all is repeated no less than four times in one form or another. In the original Greek, that is. And it could be translated in the following way. And notice then the stress on that little word all. Praying at all times with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Four times we have that word all here in our text. Now obviously, this tells us already that prayer is of vital importance for you and for me. There is a comprehensiveness, you could say, a comprehensiveness about prayer here in our text, a comprehensiveness which is to be found in other parts of the Word of God as well, you, such as when the Lord, for instance, says in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, men, that includes women, men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Well then, let us hear the four alls of prayer of a Christian soldier. I want to speak to you about all sorts of prayer. Secondly, all occasions of prayer. Thirdly, all perseverance of prayer. And then lastly, all saints as object of such prayers. Now, congregation, a Christian soldier cannot possibly be without communication with his commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. And each believer is meant to be a Christian soldier, whether you are young or old. We are meant to be Christian soldiers. No believer can therefore possibly do without prayer. No believer. As someone once said, prayer is the breath of the soul. Have you heard of that? Prayer is the breath of the soul. Now, you know what happens if you would for just a few minutes stop breathing. Wouldn't work, wouldn't it? In fact, it could be fatal for you. Therefore, in order to remain spiritually alive, dear people, you and I must continue with the breathing of prayer regularly. It is extremely important to have all the armor on us and to be engaged in warfare. Yes, we need that belt of truth and we need that bulletproof vest covering us. We need our feet to be well shod as well. And we need that shield in our left hand and we need that sword in our right hand. We need that helmet on our head. But if you are not breathing, you are a dead soldier. You cannot have any effect upon the enemy whatsoever. But what is the proof then that you and I are alive? What's the proof? Well, obviously, when you are spiritually breathing, you see. When you are a praying person. A praying person. When you have that connection with your chief commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what sort of prayer should you and I be engaged in? Well, let's look at our text. All sorts of prayer. Our text says it in this way, that we are to pray with all prayer and supplication. In other words, we are to be engaged in a wide variety of prayers. You see, congregation, our prayers might consist basically of only asking for things. And you know that that's an important part of prayer, of course, asking for things. And definitely it is therefore not wrong to ask the Lord for this or the other thing. But there should be more than that to our praying, you see. Your and my prayers should include not only requests for things, or they should not only include cries for help, though they are an important facet of our prayer life. But your and my prayer should also include a variety of styles, a variety of ways, a variety of things that we can communicate to the Lord our God. Such as, for instance, obviously, confession of sins. That should be part of our prayer. Confession of faith. It should be part of our prayer. Prayers of adoration. What we think of God. How we feel about God. How we worship the Lord God. Prayers of adoration. Prayers of thanksgiving and praise. And certainly we have much reason to thank God and praise Him for the many blessings that we may enjoy. So that too should be part of our prayer life. And then last but not least, prayers of intercession. That is praying for others. I hope to say a little bit more about that later on. But think, for instance, of that great model prayer that the Lord Jesus taught to His disciples and through His disciples to us, to you and me. It teaches, obviously, adoration of God. Expressions of awe and reverence for who He is as He is enthroned in heaven. Desires to see His kingdom expand in this world. Submission to His will, even as the angels do His will in heaven. Request for daily nourishment. Confession of and pleas for forgiveness of sins. The admission that we require protection in temptations. Praise and worship of God. All of these are compacted in this small prayer called the Lord's Prayer. How good it is to study it regularly and use that prayer as examples to expand our prayers. In other words, the Lord's Prayer, we have a wonderful example of variety of all sorts of prayer in one prayer. Now, dear people, all sorts of prayers should therefore be sent up through the Lord our God. And this is what constitutes communication with the Lord. Now, why am I saying it this way? Because one of the weaknesses, and I'm speaking also of myself, one of the weaknesses of our prayer life is that we are often far too general. We're often far too general in our prayer life. We pray perhaps that the Lord would bless our family and that He would bless our congregation, and or we generalize it even a little bit more, that we simply ask the Lord that He would bless all that awaits His blessing. And it sounds good, but it's so general, isn't it? So general. Wouldn't it be much better if we were a bit more specific in our prayers to God? And that is certainly very important when we are engaged in spiritual warfare. Be specific in our prayer, in our communications with our commander-in-chief. That means, therefore, that we must tell the Lord precisely what it is, for instance, that we are thankful for. That we appreciate the variety of the things that the Lord God has done for you and for me. That we tell the Lord specifically of the experience of this gift or the other gift, that we can express thankfulness for, yes, Lord, this is what You've done for me. Yes, Lord, this is what You have protected me of, and so on. And therefore, learn to become precise in your confession of what we, you and I, believe. What about God's promises? What about them? Yes, but let's become more specific about the promises. If we, you know, we're told that we are to plead the promises. I spoke with our young people, Confession of Faith, just recently about what it means to plead the promises that God has given to us at baptism. Well, what does it mean to plead the promise? Just, Lord, fulfill your promise? Well, what promise, the Lord asks, perhaps? What promise? Well, learn to articulate them. Who is it that you confess in your prayers? Who is it? Well, it is God the Father, obviously, and His creative and His governing powers. Well, that's good that you ask Him to fulfill His promises to you. But there's also God the Son, isn't there? And His redemptive sacrificial powers. And then there's God the Holy Spirit and His salvation and faith-working powers. These are powers that are promised to us. Well, let's plead for them, you see. Become specific in your prayer life and in your faith confessions. And then let's also become more specific in our requests. Our requests. What is it that you would want from the Lord at this particular time in your life? His blessing? Well, surely. Yeah, we want the Lord's blessings, obviously. But that's a very general request, isn't it? As someone once said, you know, when it really comes down to it, that's a tall order. Lord, bless us. That's a tall order. And not that the Lord is not able to fulfill any tall orders that we have for Him. Because we are told also that the Lord is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that work in us. Nevertheless, we should still learn to become more specific also in our requests. And again, so what is it that you would want from the Lord, really would want from the Lord? Remember the example, boys and girls, of King Solomon? What is it that he really wanted from the Lord? Well, you know, he wanted wisdom. He wanted wisdom. And so he asked for it. And the Lord gave him wisdom. Besides that, he gave him much more than just wisdom. He gave him a very clear mind. And he was able to articulate thought in such a wonderful way that it is written down in various books of the Bible, like Proverbs, for instance, Ecclesiastes. Is it perhaps patience that you require for some reason or another, because you're facing a very difficult challenge? Well, ask the Lord for that. Be specific. Whatever your request might be, ask for it and be very specific. And I want to underline that. Also, let us learn to become more specific in our adoration and our praise of God, our triune God. And so I ask, what is it that really strikes you as awesome about God? What is it that is so awesome about God? His majesty? His holiness? His justice? His love? His mercy, perhaps? His grace? For what particular attribute of God do you wish to praise Him? In your morning prayers, for instance, or in your midday prayers, or in your evening prayers. Well, be specific. Put variety in your prayers of adoration. Finally, let us learn to become more specific in our prayers of confession of sin. Very important. Name the sins that burden you. Mention the sins that grieve you. For instance, inform the Lord God that in the morning, you caught yourself cheating again. Tell Him that this afternoon did not go very well because you gave in to some greed. Or early in the evening, you lost your temper. Whatever it might be. But be specific. Explain to the Lord God your specific sin. That's important in confession of sins, you see. After all, we have a good example of that, David, in Psalm 51. He was very, very specific in sin. He named these sins in different ways. He called them sins, transgressions, iniquities, evil. Why did he do so? Why couldn't he have said, Lord, my sins? No, he gave them different names. And this is because he wanted to be precise in his confession. And that is what you and I must be as well. We must be precise in our confession of our sins to the Lord God. And why should we be precise about that? So that we show the Lord that we are able to distinguish one sin from the other. And that we are able then to distinguish where we need to fight against them. It's as it were facing the enemy. One enemy comes from that direction, another enemy comes from that direction. The one enemy has this sword and the other enemy has something else in order to put us down. But when we begin to see these different sins, you see, these are enemies that come at us. And we need to confess them to the Lord God so that they can be slain. And so you see, congregation, a variety in our prayer is very important. It is possible and it is necessary for good, unbroken communication with our Commander-in-Chief, the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, let me go on. Secondly, let's speak about all occasions of prayer. In our text, the Apostle Paul tells us that we are to be praying always. Or to be praying at all times. You and I might not be doing this yet. It's possible. And perhaps we are still too much tied to special times of prayer. Or restricted to formal times of prayer. Not that there's anything wrong with them. But perhaps we are just tied to those kinds of times. Let me explain. You and I, we might very well be prompted to pray in time of great calamity. Certainly a good time to pray. Or in time when one or the other catastrophe hits us. The need for prayer might then be pressed upon us at a sudden illness. Or at the threat of death. When we walk through the valley of shadows of death. We have our times also set times for formal prayer when we as churches and congregations meet for ecclesiastical prayer sessions and services. When we pray for the growing season, for instance, in the springtime, or we pray before and after our synodical meetings. All good. Good. Our nation even holds a national Thanksgiving Day. And such occasions of prayer, dear people, are certainly necessary, not only for the nation or for our family or congregation, but for our personal spiritual life. We need to engage in those kind of prayers. But besides all of this, I might impress, and I want to impress upon the congregation, the need to meet in regular meetings, prayer meetings, whenever that is possible. And I know that some of our young people, maybe some who are not so young anymore, are engaged in here. And that's a very, very good thing. Prayer meetings before church services. But we should not have it only at special or formal occasions. We should also be praying at other times. And that's why our text says praying always and at all times and at all other occasions. Not only when we find ourselves in a crisis situation, not only when our church or our church leaders call us to come together for prayer, but also on other occasions as well. Family occasions, personal occasions, private occasions, intimate occasions, occasions of any other sort, are occasions for us to engage in prayer. During times of crisis and sadness, but also during times of tranquility and peace and happiness, these are times for prayer as well. All occasions, see, and I say all occasions, should prompt us to go to the Lord and communicate with Him. How important that is. And then, this too yet, we should consider not just certain places where we could pray that are suitable for prayer. Because certainly a church is a very suitable place for us to pray. And so, as our forefathers used to speak of our closets, whatever that might be, a quiet place somewhere where we are not disturbed by anyone, very good. We should have those private and quiet places of prayer. But when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the Samaritan woman, He did not want to confine prayer life to just Jerusalem or this mountain, as He explained. We might be prompted to pray in the factory where we work, or at the job site, or at the office, or at school, or out in the playing field, out in the forest. And we should not hesitate to do so. We should have no reservations whatsoever, dear people, because any place is really suitable for prayer when the need of prayer is there. Only, and this is what the Apostle Paul also wants to emphasize in our text, that whenever and wherever the place might be to engage in prayer, that we do it in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Now, at all occasions and in all places, let us make sure that your and my prayers and supplications are made in the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, it means that we seek the help of God, the Holy Spirit, and that we pray in harmony to His will of the Holy Spirit. The place or places where you and I engage in prayer is not so important, you see. Let's not be so superstitious that only in the church you can pray, only in a cathedral or in a temple as the place to pray, only when you look in a certain direction. Let us not be superstitious about this at all. It is not necessary to look at the direction other than there. There is where our commander in chief is in. And so we have to avoid all kinds of idolatry as well in our prayer. But what is important for us is that we pray in the Spirit. In the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you see, He is the one that sanctifies. He cleans up our prayer because our prayers are not often put together very well. Well, the Holy Spirit helps us in this, you see. He sanctifies your prayer. And He also sanctifies the place and the occasion of your prayer as well. In other words, the Holy Spirit, He gives life. Life to your prayer. And He must therefore also be called on to help you in your prayer life at all times. And by the way, praying in the Spirit does not mean some ecstatic tongue-speaking manner of praying. And I think you know what I mean by that, speaking in tongues, as someone calls it at times. And I want to quote something from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones for a moment, because he once explained praying in the Spirit in the following way, and a good way. This means that the Holy Spirit directs the prayer, creates the prayer within us, and empowers us to offer it and to pray it. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. He does this in us. He gives us the petitions. He orders our mind. He gives the prayer. He directs it. He empowers it. All occasions of prayer must be prayer in the Spirit, therefore. In the Spirit. Now, I think that many of us will say, if not all of us, that prayer is not the easiest thing to do. Public prayer, private prayer. Prayer can be actually a very difficult matter for yourself. And that is understandable. You might find it distracting to just pray just anywhere. You might even shy away from praying in public. Possible. You might feel very conscious, self-conscious, that you do not and you cannot pray well. You just can't find the words to articulate what you want to say to the Lord God. Well, let me urge you then that you find help with God, the Holy Spirit, for your prayers. Because He won't let you down. He won't let you down. Well, third place. Let's speak about all perseverance of prayer. And so the Apostle Paul goes on here in our text about prayer to tell us, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. You could also translate it, be alert in always persevering. Now, congregation, one of our problems is that we too often give up too fast. We might pray for something once, twice, maybe three times, and when we don't see any changes, we give up in our prayer. We are tempted to just leave it then. Or simply we lose heart and we become discouraged. And that's a danger that we face regularly, don't we? But let us be very alert to this danger. Let us be very much aware of this. Why? Well, because the Lord sometimes holds back in answering our prayer in order to test our level of perseverance, you see. Sometimes the Lord is quite ready to help us, but He, as it were, says to Himself, and it is articulated for us in Ezekiel 36 and verse 37, I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this for them. The Lord will let the house of Israel inquire and let them and let them and let them. In other words, the Lord will sometimes let people pray on and pray on and pray on in order to test their perseverance, in order to help them overcome the weakness of quitting. And so the Lord God blesses our prayer life. Sometimes by waiting to answer us. Sometimes the Lord simply waits to be gracious to us till the level of our prayer has attained some consistency, some fervency, and some continuity. Well, now, for whatever reason this might be, but the Lord wants us to persevere in prayer, and that is certain. The Lord Jesus Himself once spoke this parable of a certain woman, widow, woman, who kept at it with a certain judge who was just too stubborn to listen to this woman, and he just kept her going and going, and he got tired of her, and then finally said, well, I'll listen to her because I'm weary of her constant barraging me. But she was finally rewarded, wasn't she? And that for her persistence and for her perseverance. And this is what the Lord wants to teach us as well. The lesson of this parable, you see, is obvious. And it needs no further explanation whatsoever. We are told elsewhere that we are therefore to continue steadfastly in prayer. And we are never, ever to cease in our prayer life. And there are people, what a lesson that is for us, for you and for me, isn't it? We are to watch that we persevere in prayer, praying always. Not praying just every once in a while. Not simply when we are in trouble. But always, without giving up. We are to stay awake and we are to stay alert in our prayer life. We must never become slack, we must never become lazy, and we must never begin to take things for granted. Well, then God knows what I need and therefore I don't have to ask Him. Let us never go that route. True enough, yes, the Lord knows what we need. But yet He wants to be prayed for, as if we must stir Him with our prayers to answer Him, us. And therefore, my friends, keep at it. Persevere at the throne of grace. And if you find yourself at times neglecting prayer life, take yourself to the task. As again, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said so eloquently, keep on and keep on going on. Never quit. Never cease praying. Men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Must hurry on. Then to the fourth thing yet, all saints as objects of prayer. Now, with all our communications with the Lord, we must be careful never to become selfish in our prayers. And that's a danger that we often face. We become selfish in our prayers. We should never think that about ourselves alone in prayer. Our prayer, you see, should always have an embracing quality about it. An embracing quality. Why? Because we are not in this spiritual warfare on our own and by ourselves. Thank goodness we are not on our own. We have fellow soldiers alongside of us. We are shoulder to shoulder with other Christian soldiers in this warfare. And we should never, ever miss to include them in our prayer life. This is why the Apostle Paul says yet in our text that we are to engage in the supplication for all saints. Not for just a few. Not for just those in our family or for those in the congregation, but for all saints, all, A-L-L, all. When I see my brother in the faith struggle, I should be prompted to pray for him. When I know of a sister in the faith being severely put to the test, I should be prompted to pray for her. We are to pray. We are to supplicate for all saints. Well, this is called intercessory prayer, isn't it? That is praying for others. Do you know who is so good in this kind of prayer? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He was always, always praying for others. And He still is praying for others. In fact, it is one of His purposes for living, because we are told in Hebrews 7 verse 25, He always lives to make intercession for us, for them, for the saints. And so, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus is always praying for us, always. This is why we are saved, aren't we? This is why we are kept. This is why we can be soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, dressed in full armor that has been given by Him to us. This is why He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our commander in chief, and why we must be continuously in communication with Him. And if we remain continuously in communication with Him, we will not be overcome and defeated in our spiritual warfare. We will overcome our enemies, you see. No, not because we are so tough, not because we are so strong in ourselves, but because He is praying for us that our faith will not fail and that our strength will not wane. He's praying for us, you see. Let us therefore stay in close communication with Him at all times, always, in every way, perseveringly. Until when? Well, until the battle is over. Until He takes us home. Then we won't have to fight anymore. Then we can lay aside our spiritual armor. And then praying will change in full adoration and embrace of this great and marvelous Commander-in-Chief, our Lord Jesus Christ. Congregation, may this last message in the spiritual armor encourage us to be much in communication with our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.